From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. The Democratic Convention begins today in Boston with 4 days of protests, parties, speeches, and I think they're going to nominate a candidate on Thursday night. We have a few reports for you today. In a minute, our own Mike Pesca takes a look at the Red Sox, the Yankees, and their political symbolism. And our partners at Slate Magazine are doing their part to help the Massachusetts economy. They've sent a large team of political writers to the convention. We'll be talking to them throughout the week. Today, we're joined by Timothy Noah, who writes the magazine's Chatterbox column, and he joins us from NPR's convention headquarters in Boston. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Madeline.
So the big event tonight will be the speeches by Hillary and then her husband, Bill Clinton. And the Washington Post says the Clintons are lying low in a hotel just across the river in Cambridge, staying out of the way for what is supposed to be John Kerry's week. So what is the significance of the Clintons' appearances, and what are they expected to say?
Well, Hillary Clinton was actually kept off the program initially and then hastily put back on it when there were some protests. The paradox of the Clintons is that they are clearly the most popular figures in the Democratic Party right now, but they're also terribly divisive. They are deeply, deeply hated by conservatives. So I think tonight we'll see lusty cheers for their speeches, particularly Bill Clinton's speech. But at the same time, there will be some anxiety, I think, on the part of the Kerry people that Clinton may overshadow the candidate.
It's been reported that the Kerry campaign wants to make this a very feel-good convention and minimize the Bush bashing. Do you think that's a good idea?
I don't, actually. I think that Bush bashing, or at least criticism of Bush, is the heart and soul of the Kerry campaign. Kerry is running as the anti-Bush. Now, I can understand the Kerry campaign's interest in getting Democrats to love their candidate. I think that's the major task this week. Learn to love John Kerry. But John Kerry is not a terrifically lovable figure, as was noted yet again in a profile by Dale Russakoff in yesterday's Washington Post. So it should be an interesting week in that respect. Can the Democrats learn to love John Kerry?
And don't the speeches that inject a little vitriol, aren't they always sort of more roundly applauded than speeches that are all sort of sweetness and light?
In general, yes. And I think there is a way to attack the Bush administration without, you know, descending into childish name-calling. The thrust of the theme should be, and I suspect in the end will be, that the Republicans are the party of irresponsibility, that the president is pursuing a set of disastrous policies, both economically and in foreign policy, and that John Kerry will be the person who will restore order to the country.
Now, you've been to a lot of these political conventions, and this time around it seems the television networks are trying to get away with broadcasting as few hours as possible, with the thoughts that they are actually outdated and people don't really care. They're just big infomercials. No news will be made. Do you think that this week will play an important role in the campaign?
I think it will, in the sense that it is a week where people are really going to be focused on John Kerry. And I think there hasn't been a lot of focus on him in the past. I think Democrats, in particular, have been looking every which way except directly at their candidate. He's not an exciting figure. It's a week where everybody gets to see what the political debate is. It provides an occasion for people to actually sit and listen to speeches, which almost never happens in the United States anymore. And for that reason, I think it is important, although we should remember that speeches will only tell you so much. I remind you that in 1988, what we learned from Bill Clinton's speech was that he was a terrible bore and that he was never going to become president.
Opinion and analysis from Timothy Noah. He writes the Chatterbox column for Slate, and he joined us from NPR's convention headquarters in Boston. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you, Madeline.